Today's episode of News AF is sponsored by our friends over at betonline.ag. They are the exclusive sponsor of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, where I am playing against a number of the other Podcast One hosts, picking five football games every single week. In week eight, it was another 5 for 5 week for the bad boy of podcasting, as I am sitting there in fourth place right now, closing in on that $5,000 prize for the charity of my choice, courtesy of betonline.ag. Let me give you my week nine picks real quick as I look to close the gap this week. Give me the Chiefs at the Browns. Give me the Patriots home for the Packers. Give me the Vikings versus the Lions. Give me the Texans at the Browns. And I will also take the Bears for the second week in a row as my lock of the week against another bottom dweller in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills. So much going on at betonline.ag. Use the promo code podcast1 to get a 50% bonus. Don't forget, each week that I end up winning the week, they are going to be giving $100 in credit to people on betonline.ag for supporting the show. We're having so much fun with everything going on with betonline.ag. Use promo code podcast1 to get a 50% off welcome bonus. So much going on in the world of sports right now. Use the promo code podcast1 to get that 50% off bonus. That's podcast1 for that 50% sign up bonus on betonline.ag. There's only one place to get in on all the action. That's betonline.ag. There's already drama in LA with the Lakers. Toronto and Denver are off to a hot start. Alabama and the Rams dominating the football world, and Nashville starting very strong in hockey. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sportsnet. Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back once again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories for the last week of October 2018 here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. Emo news makes you bored to death. It's time for some News AF.
Mm-hmm.
Factual news.
Yes, that's right. Here we are back again talking about all of these wonderful news stories here with the News AF team. Here they are. First, a man who has a cool new hat that has wings on it. Mr. Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Flap, flap. I was going to say mother effers, but then he said a cool new hat that has wigs on it.
Yeah. Yep. Flap, 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 flap away. And a man.
Flap, flap.
Yes. And a man who's always flapping. Also, here is Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
I can't stop flapping or I'll die.
This is an interesting intro.
Won't stop.
Yeah. He's like a fish. Flushing water over his gills,
constantly flapping.
Do you think you could ever drink enough liquid constantly that you could constantly also be urinating?
Constantly?
No.
Constantly in, constantly out?
No.
Unless you had some sort of like,
what if there's like a feeding tube that was just cans constantly pushing liquid into your stomach?
You know, I used to fantasize about, fantasize might be the wrong word, about being able to constantly poop. Like, could you just constantly eat? You know, when you're a kid, you think that that's how it works.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I just was always eating something, it would just be going out at the same time.
Is that not how it works?
I don't think so.
What's the difference between palpable and tangible?
Is there
any difference?
Yeah.
Tangible doesn't sound as cool.
Tangible sounds more like congruent.
Congruent sounds like it's just a mess.
Tangible sounds not great.
Tangible is a mathematical term. Palpable is not a mathematical
term. Palpable, if you were to call sex hotline and the woman said palpable over the phone, that would sound sensual. If she used the other word, it wouldn't sound nearly as good. Palpable. You know, it has like some sexy overtones.
I think that maybe
tangible
is palpable.
I think the definition is completely different.
That you can, metaphorically feel, sort of like the tension is palpable. If you say the tension is tangible,
that doesn't work. That means congruent. Like tangible,
like an object is tangible, but is an object palpable? I don't know.
I like the word palpable.
Yes.
I invented it.
There's just something about it. It just sounds nice. Like you want to be involved with something that's palpable.
Yes.
You sure do. And you were.
You want someone to get their palps all over you, and your palps all over theirs. Gosh, we need to bring on
our regular viewer, Stephen Fishback. Oh no, and Shane Powers is watching. We didn't need him to see this.
Oh no, okay, what is right, Shane right, Powers right. doing in here? Are we going to get a lot of heat for this now?
I think so. All right, Tyson.
Shane loves us. He does
tomorrow night Halloween. I just want to give you a heads up. If you were planning to go as a simple Jack from the movie Tropic Thunder,
yeah.
You know, actually, we should just say all the characters from Tropic Thunder. Don't do it, Tyson. Bad idea. Okay. That's a stay away.
So that was Sean White went as Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
But why now?
Why? That's an even better question.
Because wouldn't it be like the year the movie came out would be probably the hot time to dress as something from that? And also... it's offensive for sure, but when you're like, "Oh, it's Sean White," I'm like, I kind of always took him for a character like that, anyways.
You know, I just recently watched Tropic Thunder, and I just marveled at the fact that the movie ever got made.
It's crazy,
it's like,
right?
Yeah, it blows my mind, and I commented to several people afterwards, like, "How did this get made?" And there's no way it could be made right now.
You know what my least favorite part of the whole film is? Besides all the offensive stuff?
Mm-hmm. Which part?
Is the part at the very end where somebody hypes Tom Cruise into thinking that he's funny.
No, so Tom Cruise is funny in that film. I'm sorry.
No, he is not.
He is. He's funny.
No, wrong.
Yes. Yes, I know. It pains me. It pains me to say that. But he is actually funny in that film. It's his greatest role.
His greatest role. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Okay.
That's so it. He should just retire.
I need to do a rewatch of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do a rewatch. You know what? The problem is Halloween is like a minefield and you have to just be careful. So many people make mistakes and get zinged as Halloween approaches by picking what I would assume would be a common no-no, like a pretty common sense no-no costume. But people just fall into that trap. I don't know why. I'm with Tyson. Why would you pick Simple Jack? Nobody's going to understand the costume.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's too old.
It's deeply offensive.
It's so offensive.
And also not funny.
And also not funny. There's no way to win. You can't win with this.
What is the safest costume? What is the costume that no matter what happens at any point down the road, you'll be safe no matter what?
Vampire.
Vampire.
I was gonna say sexy vampire.
Sexy vampire. That's problematic.
But Tyson's right. If you do any of like
true vampire and witch,
ghost. If you do a traditional Halloween
ghost, if you have a pointy head, a ghost is a bad idea.
Witches are all back in. Witchcraft is in. It's the new religion of the millennials. They don't believe in God, but they believe in astrology and witchcraft.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 100%. I read a survey just the other day that showed millennials are more likely to believe in witchcraft and astrology than religion, or what we would call religion, Christianity. And so that's a safe bet. You go with a witch, you're going to get high fives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but historically, too, you're going to be on the right side of things for a little while. I don't know what the future
beholds.
With
the witchcraft.
With the witches and the vampires. And those are all like common since the beginning of Halloween. Those have been costumes. Mm-hmm. So you can always just be like, this is just an old throwback to the very first time that they ever celebrated Halloween when all the females were witches and all the males were
warlocks.
Vampires
yes.
or warlocks or whatever they wanted to be.
There's more costumes you shouldn't go as or wear than there are you should.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you have access to all these costumes you shouldn't wear?
What do you mean? Like, is there a list of costumes not acceptable? Is that what you're asking?
Well, no. Like, you go to the Halloween store and you're like, I'm going to get that.
Hey, I'm looking for dick in a box.
Like, how much time do you think Sean White put into his costume?
It looks like he put in a lot of time.
Tyson, when you go to the Halloween store, that there is an area where they have sort of like this like saloon door where you can walk in and they have all of the inappropriate costumes. Nobody
kids
should
aren't
wear.
Allowed.
And you go in at your own risk.
Yeah, I get it.
Stay out of there.
And when you buy it, when you buy one of those costumes, they might make you sign a disclosure.
And get a picture of you to post to social media anonymously.
Mm-hmm. You have to sign this big form saying, I understand that I am buying a Simple Jack costume, and I know what that entails.
Here's the question. Simple Jack is not a real character, right? He's a fictional character in just this film?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when they did this film...
Actually,
the whole premise
that in the movie Tropic Thunder, there is there's like a fake trailer for a movie. This is like how obscure of a costume this is for Shaun White. And this was his first problem. There is a trailer for a film where Ben Stiller is playing a mentally challenged person in some sort of like Oscar bait type movie.
Yes.
And that's what Shaun White said. Hey, I'm going to be that for Halloween.
Right. So it's a fictional character made up in this movie, Tropic Thunder, whose whole design was to be
based on the true story, though, right?
Simple Jack was?
No, it was Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder is.
It's a documentary.
It's a I think it's a biopic.
Yes.
So in the film, that role was already designed to be offensive, right?
Yes.
So he's just dressing as this thing that was already designed to be offensive, and people are even more offended by him dressing as the thing that was designed to be offensive in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Look, before you go out and wear your costume, you need to consult with somebody who is sufficiently
aware. We should be consultants, you're saying? You're thinking?
Us, or maybe we should form a Halloween panel. Okay. Of the costume, a tribunal that sits up on like these huge, you know, like it, just like you picture.
Yeah, far above,
and look down, and the costumes are brought in, and then they're like nay or yay, and
thumbs
then you take
get
it back
down.
Out, and they create a list that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah. This I'll is also a comment before we get into our first story at this hour. Ad Jackson on Facebook says, "A longtime listener, first time viewer. Vascular D is nowhere near as vascular as I imagined. My disappointment is immeasurable. Still big love to Vascular D. Dan, has the pendulum swung so far the other way that people thought that you were overweight based on your voice? Now people are tuning in and expecting you to be totally ripped and now are disappointed. Okay.
First of all, I am
vascular. Oh, I thought you were
going to
stand up and take your shirt off.
Yeah, exactly. I can't take my shirt off.
Why
but
not?
I am definitely vascular. The other day, I was looking at my legs, and I was disgusted with myself. No problem finding a good vein to draw blood from. Mm-hmm. So there are some pros to it. But visually, very disturbing at how close all of my veins lay to the surface.
How can we get a picture of this vascularity?
Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, you're just going to have to use your imagination. Maybe someone
should to do a 360.
Are you going to post something eventually?
By the way, it is an acceptable costume to go as Vascular D.
No, it is not. As you or as
me.
Vascular
No, no,
D.
As me, as Mr. Vascular D.
Although,
or Skeet Dog.
To be fair.
I like how you're embracing the nickname now, Danny.
I think Vascular D might be a more commonly recognized costume than Simple Jack. More people would get what you were supposed to be. Like,
well,
oh,
how did
I'm Vascular D from News AF. Like, oh, okay.
How did people even recognize that that was the costume? Or he probably had to tell people.
Yeah, and then when they heard it, like, if he just said, like, oh, I'm Raggedy Andy. Oh, okay, fine. That's fine.
You're okay then.
Once he explained what the costume was, that is very offensive.
He had to go into a deep, detailed explanation. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
I mean, truth be told, I was never a huge Shaun White fan.
Okay. Danny, how about you? You like Shaun White?
I'm impressed with what he does. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he came
back. Yeah, but aren't you annoyed by his success?
Oh, yeah. I'm always annoyed by other people's success. That's like something that you can know about me without really knowing me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about some of these stories we have. And let's get into our top story at this hour. And this is a story that Danny... came across this early this morning that says that trusting people live longer, according to a new study of 25,000 Americans from different backgrounds. Danny, is this actually to be believed? Or
do you trust this article?
Is this just a story to pacify the trusting?
So I thought long and hard about this. First things first, Tyson, you do have to trust the article. That's the first step to living longer. The only way a trusting person doesn't live longer is that he trusts the wrong person and gets stabbed.
Mm-hmm. Is that bringing down the average, Danny?
Yeah, but that doesn't happen very often. The reason a trusting person lives longer, and this is my guess, I've seen other studies that say the more social you are as you get older, the longer you live.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not trending in the right direction, Danny.
Yeah, I don't think any of us, maybe Tyson is. I'm definitely not. I'm becoming a closed off individual. So
I'm less social than I was, but still more social than most people my age with children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you started off social enough that maybe by the time you're really old and gross, you'll still have enough trust to have a good social circle.
Well, and here's the thing for you, Danny. Maybe me being as social and trusting as I am, you'll be covered by my umbrella as long as you stay in contact with me.
So I can live vicariously through you and your social circle. And by that way, I'm kind of like sucking life from you, like the dark crystal from a Gelfling.
Nope, not at all. I'll be social with you as well as other people.
And so you'll wheel me around to social gatherings actually and prolong my life. That would be a great service to me. I appreciate that, Tyson.
So you're welcome.
The study says that whether or not you trust people can mean as much as an additional 10 months added onto your
per
lifespan.
Person.
Yeah. Well, not per person that you trust, but just overall.
Oh, so, 10 months isn't like huge then.
No.
Yeah, but it might be enough to counteract a silver medal. Well, not quite a full silver medal, but it could cut in half the time that you're going to die if you get a silver medal early, if then you turn around and you trust people.
Right.
So it's all a bunch of balances. Like you smoke a little bit. Well, now you can trust people. You know, you should create a list of things that cancel each other out so that you can live the perfectly balanced life of bad and good.
And the perfectly balanced age.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to live too long. Like who cares if you're a trusted individual, but you're bedridden with, you know, a bedpan and it's like, I trust my nurse and that's why I continue to live in these horrible conditions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But she has to pop my bed sores every other day.
Oh, man.
I don't know how bed sores work.
I don't think you popped them.
That was awful. That was awful.
Okay. Let's talk about a story that created some major problems for our government's computer systems when it was found that a federal worker infected a government computer network while looking at over 9,000 X-rated web pages, which downloaded Russian malware to government networks. So a lot of problems, Tyson.
Is 9,000 pages enough?
Is it enough to
get your fill?
It's a lot. That's a lot of pages.
It seems like a lot. How long?
Over what period of time? Yeah. Yeah. Does
a
it
month?
Say?
9,000, you say?
9,000. Yeah. And this was at work, mind you.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What job? That's a great job. If you have a job that allows you to look at 9,000 pages.
Oh, yeah. It's a government job, Danny.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. That's a sweet gig.
This was on his government issued computer, but maybe this was off duty.
Oh.
Yes, but when he then put the computer back on the network, malware.
Boom. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he affected more than just other computers.
The old Mr. Robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Remember when they did that with the CD?
Yep.
Whatever it was.
In the episode, that guy looks like he needs some serious sleep in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a real Pete Davidson, that guy.
Budweiser.
Yeah. That would be a real.
Don't get me started.
Teeth if he started dating Ariana Grande.
Then we would know she had a type.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Butthole eyes were her type.
So, is there anything that can be done, Danny?
Don't let your employees take their computers home because I can guarantee this is happening all over the place. That's step one.
Step one. That's a good point.
Okay. So we don't do that. Well, mine was on an unrelatable tangent of it's okay to call Pete Davidson butthole eyes, but it's not okay to go as Simple Jack.
Yeah. I'm not even sure if that's okay, Tyson.
To call Pete Davidson butthole
eyes.
You've
got a great Halloween costume.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Bleach your hair blonde and then get a pair of glasses.
I know what Danny's going to be.
Yep. Okay, back to the story, Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, distracting us.
Employ Unix.
Interesting.
What is that?
Sorry,
I seriously
Danny.
Don't know.
It's where it's castrated men. A eunuch. So if all the government employees are eunuchs, then they have no sexual desires to even look at pornography unless they're just a fan of the artwork.
Mm.
Yeah, they look at it.
But still, they'll derive no sexual pleasure from it.
Or just get robots. I'm sure that a lot of these jobs could be done by an algorithm.
Yeah. What do you think the meeting was like when they called this guy in to talk with him, Danny?
Okay, this is what I imagine. Behind the guy, giving
I'll
the meeting.
Be the guy. You be the supervisor,
the administrator.
Should I be the female coworker?
Sure.
Yeah, so on behind me, as you came into the office for this meeting, you would see a whiteboard, and on that whiteboard, I would have drawn boldly 9,000. So you would come in and you would sit down, and I would say, "Do you know what this number represents?
9,000."
Okay, what would you have? Just throw out a guess what you think 9,000 represents.
This is the number of cyber attacks that we've already in this year.
Close. That's very close. It's related to that number. Mm-hmm. Your guess is very closely related. That is the number of porn sites you have visited on your computer.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm uncomfortable.
I have not looked at any porn sites.
Now, look, I've gone through most of these 9,000 sites, and some of them are very tasteful. But there are some in there that obviously we're going to give. What's happened here is out of the 9,000 sites, 8,999 of those were connected to a virus. Out of the 8,999, 7,000 of those were from Russia. So now this entire department has been infected with multiple viruses, all related to this number of 9,000.
Are the viruses pornographic in nature?
Yeah.
I both admire you.
Hold on a second. Were you able to tell what pages I was looking at?
Well, I went through all 9,000.
Yes.
In my personal spare time.
Yes.
And
you're not going to tell my wife, are you?
If she doesn't know, then she'll never know. You can do whatever you want.
Like, nobody has to know about this, right? We're cool.
Well, no. I mean, I've already told several news agencies. Yeah, everyone in the office knows. We've actually been making fun of you for a day or two now behind your back.
Yeah, while we were trying to figure out how to tell you.
Everybody knows. You don't keep a secret like this for very long. This is exactly the kind of thing that gets out in an office because this is just fodder for the gossip mill.
Danny.
So, yeah.
You're supposed to do this whole thing in like an impersonation or a voice.
Oh, I thought I was just doing it as myself.
No, you're the boss.
I mean, I can't do a boss voice because I've never been a boss. So this is just me doing my best.
Okay.
Anyway, you've infected all these viruses and it's gotten out. I'm sorry, but I'm giving you a promotion. Yeah, just to get you out of my department. You're being promoted. You're going up the ladder.
Peter Principal.
You can be somebody else's problem because this is how the government works.
Okay.
Passed on.
I can't fire you, so it's a promotion or you stay here around us and we make fun of you until you...
For more information on this, you can read the entire report from the Office of the Inspector General at oversight.gov.
Do they have a list of all 9,000 sites so you can visit them and judge his taste in porn?
No, it doesn't have the 9,000 sites, but it does talk about what the government has done combat this moving forward in terms of firewalls.
Has he been fired? Was he fired?
I gotta think so, right?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'd be surprised if he was fired. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just promoted him, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if we have an update on this story. All right, let's keep going and talk about another story going on. Do you remember the saga of the mystery pooper?
There were many mystery poopers.
Yeah.
There was more than one.
This
was
the mystery poopers.
Yes, this was the one. This was the guy that we found out that it was actually the superintendent of the school was pooping everywhere.
Course he was.
Yeah. I don't remember this one.
Yeah.
Please refresh my memory.
This was at a high school and somebody was pooping on the field and they didn't know who it was.
Oh yeah.
And then it was revealed in May that he was the mystery pooper And so now that he has pleaded guilty, the superintendent, or as they call him in this New York Post article, the pooper intendant, is tired of this. Thomas Tremolini, he is now striking back, Danny. He's tired of being the butt of all these jokes. He's had it with everybody's crap.
Yeah, there's, should I let you keep going? Keep generating new poop puns?
He has hired a lawyer and is now suing.
You don't get that right. If you do something like this, you no longer can be offended by all the jokes coming your way. I mean, no, you should have known beforehand.
Suing the police department.
He's suing for what?
Because that the police department either leaked his mugshot to humiliate him, or an inexperienced police officer didn't know what he was doing, and his life is now ruined, Danny.
The police didn't force him at gunpoint to take dumps in the middle of the field.
Did they not?
Not unless there's a huge conspiracy. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, it was him and him alone, unless he had an accomplice holding toilet paper, but most likely him alone pooping everywhere. The humiliation is his. He has to own it the rest of his life.
He's suing his local police department for $1 million.
Ooh, good round number.
Yeah, I do like that he's doing that. Although I feel like if you sue for some weird number, then people believe there's a reason behind that number and you're more likely to get it. Like if you're like, I'm suing for $832,000.
Has that been proven by fact, Danny?
No, of course not. But it's just a strategy I think I would employ if I was suing someone for leaking my pooping habits. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like $832,751 in damages.
Pain and suffering.
Is he going to have to sue himself after this because he's drawn even more attention to himself?
Excellent point, Tyson. That is an excellent point. It's like the guy who gets made fun of, and instead of like just being like, ha ha, he overreacts and brings even more attention.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best way to do it is just to take it and then hope accept it.
Now, yeah. To be
like,
fair,
I like pooping.
So to be fair to Mr. Tremolini, that according to documents with the case, he claims that he has a medical condition that makes him have to go to the bathroom when he jogs. I might never jog if I had a sudden onset of a bowel movement anytime I jog.
Here, I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
The medical condition is hot Indian food every night.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
I just get on an exercise bike.
The secret is Danny poops while he jogs all the time.
Is that true?
Okay, listen.
It does seem as though, seem as though a lot of these cases of these serial poopers are joggers.
Okay, that does stir up the digestive system, get things going. I get that.
Right.
But then I plan my jogs if it's in the morning. Usually I'm going to have access to outhouses.
Is this the same phenomenon as when you take a dog for a walk, Danny?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it gets things moving. Maybe gravity acts a little bit to bring it out as well. Mm-hmm. But look, if you are having this problem, you plan routes and you stick to the routes that offer bathrooms every so often.
You would think the superintendent of the school would have access to school laboratories.
Yeah. Guys. I mean, is he running out on the track? Is that kind of what it sounds like?
Yes, Tyson.
Do you want me to share a deep, dark secret of mine?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I mean.
No, not if you're going to regret it later and sue us for making fun of you.
I might.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
When I was running a lot, I was at the track running intervals once at a high school, but not while high school was in session. It was in the summer.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, this is when I was like ultra, ultra lean. And when you're that lean, for some reason, your body cannot hold on to pee or poo for very long.
Okay.
And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I might have actually had Indian food the night before. So I ran to the bathroom that is on site there, and it would not open there. It was locked because it's the summertime and nobody's there. And nobody was around anywhere. So I ran into the bushes, like in the dirt, not even in the landscaping area, and pooped. And that's a true story. and I'm ashamed to share it, but I also want to be honest, full, what do we call it? Transparency.
Disclosure.
Transparency, yeah.
But if this guy's pooping all over all the time, then he needs to figure it out. But I think a one-time instance like mine, we can definitely offer me a pass, right?
Yeah, and what's the statute of limitations on that? What year was this?
Oh, dude, this was like 10 years ago.
I think Tyson's clear. Yeah, I think this guy is a different kind of pooper. I think he gets excited with the possibility of getting caught while pooping.
Yeah, no, I was ashamed.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was ashamed, but it was either that or in my car trying to drive somewhere.
The difference is whether or not the guy pooping in public, if he can look you in the eye, then he's guilty. If he looks down like a shameful dog, then you know that he feels guilty.
Yeah, look at this. He's staring cold-heartedly into the camera, like, set me free, I'll poop somewhere else.
Yeah. If I recall the original story, that I feel like that he was, they found it always in the same spot, near or on the high school football field and track. That I feel like that if this was like off in like a corner somewhere, you know, nobody might
stashed.
Know about it, but it seems like that the evidence that was
he was flaunting it.
Yeah.
Like one of those serial killer films where like he's just egging the authorities on, daring them to find him, thinking he's too smart for everyone.
Okay. let's talk about some science news. And, you know, we get a lot of climate change news here on News AF. We study all of the science stuff pretty closely. But this is something that I had not heard about, that this is an article that is talking about how that temperatures, of course, are rising, that by the year 2100, that if we keep on this current trajectory, the planet could be warmed 4 degrees Celsius. But Danny, according to this, that it is going to really do a number on the workforce. And according to this one study, that workers in the United States, the UK and Australia could miss up to 33 days of work a year. Thanks to climate change.
Like, why? Why? Tell me why.
Well, I don't really understand why. I guess
because it gets too hot. It's
too hot?
Too hot, or there's going to be too much water that it's going to be hard for people to get to their jobs.
No, I think it's going to be more like you're going to get sick, or you're going to get heat stroke, or you're going to get, like, you know, imagine if you were working and the air conditioning goes out in your work and it's like 110 degrees in there. Also, should I not have shared that poop story?
I think you're
You have as much regret sharing the story as you did leaving the poop, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But I think you're fine. Can I go back to the story for a minute, though? Those of you who have jobs in the year 2100, which is what they're citing as the year.
Oh, we'll be dead by then.
Yeah, those of you who have jobs, you'll be glad to have those jobs and the robots aren't currently doing the work.
Well,
you will not be skipping.
Robots are going to have so many of the jobs.
Yeah, you're not going to skip a single day of work because your job is constantly on the chopping block because of the robots.
33 days of like, how many global warming days are people going to have on their jobs? I mean, 33 days of work is what, you know, 6.5 weeks of work, Danny.
Yeah, you're out of a job. You're missing 33 days. A robot could walk through like the surface of the sun to get to a job.
If 33 days is half the amount of vacation days Europeans already get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can't get to your job because it's 110, then the robots are going to take that job from you because they can honestly handle all conditions. And you're just
That's not
you're
true.
Just asking.
You never had your iPhone overheat?
Oh, Tyson, we're talking about the year 2100. I hope technology grows exponentially.
Oh, you think all robots are just going to have coolers built right smack dab inside them?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And Danny, by 2100, won't most of the jobs be combating global warming?
Yeah, most of the people will be fighting over the scraps. It'll be a Mad Max like scenario. So I don't even know what job you're going into other than to like battle your rivals.
Listen to this. That this study also says that workers in developing countries are set to lose as much as 94 days.
Who the hell keeps a job if you're losing 100 days a year? This study is so stupid.
I think some people, they could work, and I think some people are milking this.
I didn't realize that it was going to be a Mad Max style thing, because all my job is definitely going to be drive a giant truck that looks like an organ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crushing people. as you drive. Look, the people who came up with the study are those people who are looking forward to not. They're like, if we can just get people thinking that this is how many days you're going to have to miss because of climate change, well, then that's sweet. We'll set it up so that we can miss that many days. You know what I'm saying? They're setting themselves up to be able to miss. This is a bunch of millennials creating the study in but order to prep themselves for missing out on work. No, they, well, with blood, young blood transfusions and maybe biotech, maybe they'll be able to stretch it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a stupid study. I can't believe, did anybody, who spent money on this study?
Yeah, I don't know how people are going to come up with this. Like, I understand the science behind, okay, we can predict what the temperature is going to be, but then to say we know what people are going to call out that they can't get to work in 82 years.
They can barely predict what the temperature will be a week from now.
We're going to be under, come on. Could even be under like a huge giant biodome by that time.
Yeah, this
where the
is
climate
a stupid...
is perfectly controlled inside its own little... Who yeah, knows? That's the future. As we get more and more polluted and climate change changes even further, we're going to just travel in spacesuits from biodome to biodome. And inside each little biodome is its own little microclimate that's perfectly healthy.
And as you get into every biodome, you're greeted by Pauly Shore, the voice of Pauly Shore.
Yeah, for sure. Because he somehow has worked that into his contract during the film. That was the one thing that if it ever became a real life scenario,
he had to be the AI that greeted you into each biodome.
I'm just worried. My concern here is that I'm worried if there might be some really lazy people that may want to accelerate global warming because then they would have.
Yeah. Is this incentivizing tire fires?
But I think lazy people in general already accelerate global warming without even trying.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like the guy who's like, burning tires isn't good for the globe, but it's the easiest way to get rid of
my
old
tires. Yeah.
So I think even without trying, I think the laziest people are constantly
hurting. They make a lot of problems for us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're also the most trusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to live
forever. They're going to be the only ones benefiting from these days off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay.
Can you imagine if we only did the podcast once every 33 days or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It would be torture for us.
And the news would pile up. All right. Danny, tell us about the Russian scientists who attempted to kill one of their colleagues.
Okay.
Why would he do that?
So on King George Island, which is down near the Antarctic.
Yes.
Very cold, very lonely. There's a Russian research station there. Who the hell knows what they're studying? Probably days off for climate change is one of the things they're studying.
Filming March of the Penguins 4.
Yeah, maybe filming. But there's down there, there are people doing research, and there's people keeping the station up and running. And it looks like there's not a lot of entertainment.
Yeah.
There's a handful of books. And one Russian researcher ended up stabbing his colleague who was giving away the endings of books as the man was reading the book. And eventually he reached a boiling point. It could have been the rising temperatures. I don't know. And he took a knife and stabbed, which that's a little dramatic, but he stabbed his comrade. I don't know if that's a term they still use.
It is.
And it didn't kill him. Right. This wasn't a slipped while I was bringing a knife to the pizza incident. He didn't kill him. The man was flown to Chile and the other man was flown to St. Petersburg in Russia and we'll probably never hear from him again.
What book was it? Do we know?
Well, it was probably Crime and Punishment.
Multiple books.
Yeah. If it was any Russian book by any Russian author, I mean, those are pretty depressing. You don't want to read those in a cold, chilly, dark environment. But whatever it was, I kind of understand the frustration. This guy was being a real dick. Imagine you put the time and effort into reading a book. You're 3/4 of the way through it and someone tells you how it ends. This is the only form of entertainment you have. So you pick up another book and after a couple of months of this, eventually you're going to break. You're going to lose it.
And this was intentional, Danny?
The stabbing?
No, the book spoiling.
I looked at pictures of both the guys and just going off of reading a book by its cover. I would say that it was definitely intentional. The guy looks like the kind of person who would troll you like that.
Intentionally.
Okay. Here are the two guys. We have the guy with the beard and then the guy with just like the mustache. Who was spoilee, and who is the spoiler?
I believe the man with the beard was spoiling the endings for Mr. Mustache.
And Mr. Mustache was the stabber.
I believe, yes. So, I mean, not very good at stabbing. Didn't kill him. Luckily, everybody's alive. That's the most important part of the story. Everybody so far is alive. It's impossible to say what will happen to the stabby. But so far, the guy was flown to Chile. He received medical care, and he's still alive. I wonder if he'll go on spoiling the endings of movies and books in the future, though, or if he's been, you know, effectively stopped.
Yeah. Now, Danny, in the article, it talks about how Savitsky became angered that Belogozov kept telling his colleague the ending of books before he read them. Does that mean
before he read the ending?
Or it's like, yeah. Hey, oh, this book, oh, he dies.
He's saving you a lot of time. If
he goes to jail.
Yeah, if he hasn't read them yet, he's saving a lot of time. But if he waits and lets him read all the way down to like the final chapter before telling him, that's infuriating, probably.
How about this? I wonder what would happen if you went around to movies and screamed out the ending halfway through the movie, just in the theater.
I'll tell you a funny joke that I did one time.
Okay.
Okay.
I forget what movie it was for, but I went and saw the very opening one on late, late Thursday night. As I walked out, there was another showing of it, and people were lined up to watch it. So I talked really loud, pretended like I was having a loud conversation with the guy that I was, and I said the ending of the movie really loud as I walked through. The line was pissed, but here's the thing. I told the fake ending. It wasn't even real, but I was like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so died right at the end trying to save him, and then it didn't work. I forget what the movie was, but I remember that I said a fake ending.
Moana?
It was Moana.
Yeah.
And people were pissed in the line. Hey, bro, not cool. Mm-hmm. But one of my friends was in the line too, and he went in and saw the movie, and then he was like, that was pretty funny.
You know what? Most movies, you can tell what the ending is.
You think they're predictable?
They're, for the most part, predictable.
What about Gotti?
Well, I haven't seen it yet. but that one, that's a nonfiction, so you should be able to get the ending of that. The problem is this guy was telling him the endings, I guess, as he was showing interest in the books. So before he had actually started reading them. And if you're all about endings, that's a no-no, because now you don't even want to start the book. And there's only like 20 books to read from. So what's the guy going to do the rest of the time? Can't look at 9,000 pages of porn.
The internet's super slow.
Yeah, probably super slow dial up. So it's books or nothing.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
All right.
Books or nothing.
Let's do an update on a story that we talked about last week when Tyson and I were together. We talked about the giant inflatable colon, which has gone missing.
Good news was gone missing.
The Kansas City Police Department. They have recovered the stolen colon. Great news.
Oh,
thanks
thank
to a tip. The officers found the giant inflatable pilfered intestine in a vacant house at the 7100 block of Virginia. No one is in custody yet. Investigation is continuing.
It's nice to have a feel-good story peppered in there once in a while, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Danny, do you think that the Kansas City police have interviewed a New Jersey pooper intendant of schools?
For what?
Sounds like prime suspect, someone so interested in the workings of the colons, at least its output, seems like a prime suspect.
I mean, Tyson, who else should we interrogate?
Just him. That would be crazy to think that he was doing it, but also it would make so much sense that we would not even think to interview the serial pooper.
Yeah. So, a happy story. This is a big deal. This has been
a real pick-me-up on a Tuesday morning.
All over the news. And you can see, we talked about that maybe some sort of a doctor, maybe he was going to be removing the polyps from the colon and then return, he or she was going to return it to where it was supposed to be. But it does look as though it is intact. And
with polyps and all.
Yes, but it has been recovered. Great work from the Kansas City Police Department.
But bad news for the colon because it still has its polyps.
Bad news, but it is raising awareness for a very good cause and helping people learn about colonoscopies.
Yeah. So see, Danny, those polyps, if Liz sees any of those on your colon, you need to go get those checked out.
Okay. I will.
Why does Liz perform colonoscopies?
It sounds like she might be doing that.
You don't know if she does.
No, I'm asleep.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about our worst airline passenger of the week. Danny, what can you tell us about this gentleman?
This is not a great passenger. You don't want this passenger on your plane. What happened is he was flying from Mexico to the States. Mm-hmm. He had been in Cancun with his dad. Okay. And as the plane was getting ready to take off, he freaked out.
Why?
Claims that he started feeling sick, okay, which I guess that justifies freaking out. So he ran up and banged on the pilot's door.
The pilot's definitely going to answer that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, excuse me. So
who's there?
They returned him to his seat. But unsatisfied, he got up and opened the emergency door, which then released the emergency slide and was about to leap out. And they claim he would have been sucked into the engine had he done so because it was running. Mm-hmm. He tried to leap out, but the passengers restrained him, held him down. And then the flight was canceled and everybody was probably pissed off because they had to wait to catch another flight to the U.S.
The flight in the air, Danny?
No, it was getting ready to take off.
So if he would have gone out the door at that moment, he would have been sucked into the engine.
They think there's a possibility he could have been sucked through the engine.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of the plane or whatever it was that was going on, his mom claims that his drink had been spiked, which does happen in Mexico, and that he was not acting like himself, which let's hope so. If he acts like that everywhere else he goes, it's amazing he's managed this long.
This is a federal crime though, right?
Well, in Mexico, I don't know what happens, but it's definitely a crime. The punishment is probably a little bit different in Mexico.
This is terrifying. It's crazy.
It really is. And these types of events make me wonder what I would do if I was witnessing this unfold. Part of me would be like, dude, just jump. Like, seriously, I'm a little curious what's going to happen when you leave that door.
Off on time once that guy gets sucked into the engine, Dan.
Yeah, but it's not going to take off on time no matter what.
Yeah, the minute he pops that door, it's done. So I'm like, whatever. He's already, I'm not going anywhere now.
We're
going
to be here till tomorrow.
You can't take that plane. Eventually, they will take that guy off the flight and you will take off.
No, they had to put the plane out of commission because he opened the door.
The slide popped and the door popped open.
So the plane's already out of commission. Part of me is thinking, let's see where this goes when he opens up that door.
The death penalty for this.
Well, it almost happened. Yeah. He almost got the inadvertent death penalty.
So you're saying any crime that anyone commits where they should have or could have died, they should get the death penalty for?
No, any crime that's committed that inconveniences people that have nothing to do with it, that should be, these people were probably delayed.
That's the worst offense?
Yeah, that's really, that's
well, I saw that movie about... So I saw that movie about people who escaped death, Tyson, Final Destination, you're basically just doing them a favor because they're going to die now that the Grim Reaper's
death
after
is
them.
Knocking on their door,
stalking them
around every corner.
And good news for this guy that all of the doors on a Greyhound bus can be opened anytime you want.
How many doors are on a Greyhound bus?
Feel free to exit at any time.
exit as you like.
Oh man, and that's going to be one long trip from Cancun to Florida, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Cancun to Florida. That is a long Greyhound bus ride, but that's all he's got left. And guess what? Guess what airline this was on?
Spirit.
Oh, no. Frontier. I would thought Frontier, which is like Spirit's bigger brother.
Yeah. Well, bigger brother. I don't know. They're probably equals. Yeah.
The twins. They're both twins.
Have you ever flown on Frontier? Twins.
No, I don't think I have.
Have you ever flown on Spirit?
No.
Rob?
No, me neither.
Me neither.
I once had to go on the same terminal that I think Spirit Airlines was in.
Did you get stabbed or anything?
No, it was crazy though. It was like I was flying Southwest to go to Las Vegas at like 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and it was a madhouse at the airport.
Southwest really? Is like the big brother who got out of the trailer park, got his degree, and became a manager at McDonald's. The
Why
other
can't
two
you
brothers,
be like
Spirit
your brother
and Frontiers,
yeah.
became a manager of McDonald's, and that McDonald's became the cleanest and most popular yeah. McDonald's in the country.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Meanwhile, Spirit and Frontier are stuck back at the park, you know, in the double wide, brewing their own. Moonshine.
All right. And that is why this gentleman is our worst airline passenger of the week.
I know. Nice. That was great. Didn't know we had that.
Fun little sound clip there.
Brent Wells, thank you for sending that in to us. A worst airline passenger's stinger.
Great.
There you go. Okay. All right. Danny.
Are no, no buttholes. I donated all my buttholes to the main
cause.
News AF.
To the greater
cause.
Good.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Danny. Thank you for that.
I mean, anytime, guys.
You play the song anyway?
From my butthole to yours.
Yeah, well, Danny, I feel yeah. like that people are going to be too disappointed. Why don't you just tell us about what's going on in your world, Danny? Take the time.
Okay.
You're gonna feel you belong.
What'd you do this weekend, Danny?
Okay, I've got something to talk about.
Oh.
Because my kids have had three or four Halloween parties.
Oh, yeah.
So Halloween no longer is just one day.
Yeah.
And if you read the news, the celebrities are out there doing multiple Halloween
Shawn
parties.
White, yeah.
And multiple Halloween costumes.
Yeah, you're doing... It's like everyone is a presenter at the Emmys. They're going through multiple costume changes. My kids have two or three costumes. This whole Halloween thing has gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
It's all out of hand.
My wife has been to no less than 600 Halloween parties so far in October.
It's out of control. I thought Halloween was just one day. No. And it's turned into a week, and I already don't like holidays, especially ones built. Halloween is a holiday for kids, by the way. Let me. Mm-hmm. This is a PSA for all adults.
Yeah.
Halloween is a kid's holiday. All right. Sometimes it's fun to dress up. I get that. Even as an adult, to pretend you're somebody else to escape the doldrums of your own life.
Yeah.
But Halloween is a kid's holiday. We don't need it to stretch out for a week because kids can hardly handle one night, let alone four. If I have another kid experience with them crying over receiving free candy, I'll lose my mind. They're getting free candy. It's like every dream you ever had as a child. It's finally here. You're getting free candy. You get to dress up and you're freaking out. You're crying. You're having tantrums. It's like, this is just too much. We need to shut this down.
I went to a Halloween party over the weekend, Danny, against my will, I might add.
And yes, I would assume so.
I just, it goes without saying, but I just yes. wanted to put it out there. People, you know, were in like full body makeup for what?
Wait, this was an adult Halloween party?
There were kids there also. It was a birthday party slash Halloween.
Yeah, you
party.
Bring the kid to justify your own costume.
People
you're like, oh, just,
like,
I had to dress
full
up.
Full body, like a alien. What are we doing here, Danny?
Okay, I disagree.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it, Tyson.
Fine. You guys are going to make fun of me for having a heart.
No, no. You want to wear a costume. I can
no,
see
I don't care. I don't heart. Care. I don't care if I wear a costume, but seeing the joy on children's faces and the pride that they have for wearing their costume.
No, I'm not disparaging. That's fine. I'm with Rob. I'm not disparaging
kids.
You can
find it to one day, no?
Yeah, one day. And Tyson.
But why not stretch it out? I bought this Ariel costume, why not wear it six times? It's like, you know how like when you go to church and everybody's wearing their prom tux because they rented it for the weekend and they can't return it on Sunday, so they just wear it to church too. Why aren't we wearing Halloween costumes to church? You know, stretch our buck a little bit.
Yeah. I think my wife went to her first Halloween party with the kids. I think it was on October 12th. I think that might have been the first Halloween party of the season.
Well, you got two options.
Yeah, what's
Christmas
that?
Christmas is either got to start beginning of October or you got to stretch Halloween out to a
few
weeks.
Well, no, that leads me to my next point. Now, Halloween has taken up extra space on the calendar.
But Christmas stuff is still there.
It's so ridiculous that it's like we're all being tricked into believing these holidays last forever by companies trying to sell us their garbage and make us think like Tyson, like, oh my gosh, I've got to get my money out of this costume. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile,
no, but I'm not spending extra money. I'm putting the Ariel costume on Bergen 7 times, but I'm not spending extra money.
I just think that we're stretching these holidays out. We're all being tricked by big candy, big costume.
Are we tricking them?
No, we're all being, that's the biggest trick of all, is that we're all being tricked by these people.
If the costumes, Danny, become too offensive, there could be a Halloween backlash. And so I think I'm sort of feeling like that I'm on board with the Halloween backlash.
So you think Halloween, that we should encourage people to dress as clowns and Simple Jack next year?
No, but I feel like that we should be looking for more problems with the costumes.
Look, if Halloween survived the straight edge, stiff collared years of like the 40s and 50s, you know, which is amazing, mm-hmm. then I think it will survive the culture wars of, you know, the 21st century. It's just how people want Halloween. Kids want it for the free candy, and adults want it for some reason I can't quite fathom because I'm not one of them. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's going to persist and it's going to grow. And eventually we'll start planning for Halloween, you know, in August. And it's like, luckily that'll be around the time I die.
You'll have a lot of time off from work though, because of the heat.
A lot of time off from the heat to plan your costume.
Yeah. When you said from the 40s and 50s, I was just thinking of that old timey picture of the kids in homemade burlap sack masks that were terrifying from like
actually,
the 20s or something. Do you remember that? Have you seen that photo?
I've seen some old school Halloween costumes even further back, and they are more terrifying than anything a kid
more
is wearing.
More terrifying than old bathing suits?
Oh my God, yes. Because those are just nice old wool bathing suits. If I could get my hands on one of those, I would. You got to Google.
Doesn't the wool absorb black and white. Water?
Yeah, but the wool also insulates while wet.
Uh-huh. Rob, I'm with Tyson. Go back and look up early costume masks.
Early Halloween costumes.
It's like that movie where the killers come to the door, right?
Yeah, but there's like little kids, like a 6-year-old kid wearing the most horrifying, like horrendous homemade mask you could ever think
terrifying.
Of making.
Yeah. Those were so the good days of Halloween. Those are the days I could support.
Yeah. Those are the days when you're like, let's go as the scariest thing you can, instead of being like, what's sexy, but also like, sexy.
Mm-hmm. Look, Halloween, you know, you're a college person, or, you know, that's, look, I get that also.
Yeah, I do too.
What I don't get is adults who are not with children and are not trying to date. I don't know what they're doing.
They're on their way to Comic-Con.
I guess so.
Okay. I can support that.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that you guys were poo-pooing on the whole thing, but...
No, kids, I like seeing my kids dress up.
Bring the kids the joy.
One day.
Spooky
day. One day is all we should have. One spooky day. I agree.
One spooky day, but what if they don't go to school on that day?
Oh, my gosh, who cares?
They got to go to school, show off the costume. They got to go to the neighborhood trunk or treat. Then they got to go trick-or-treating.
Oh, my gosh, already? You're giving me stress, Tyson. That's exactly what I've lived through.
Danny, do you have Halloween decorations up at your house?
I don't. I ignore those decorations. Liz does. At least she took down the gigantic spider web that made our house look like it was falling apart.
Yeah, is that the worst time of year to sell your home, Danny? Do you not want other buyers?
There's a lot of cobwebs.
This is pretty dilapidated.
Yeah, I didn't want anybody coming in this house. I didn't want anyone visiting because it looked like
spider infestation.
You got spider webs. You've
Ghosts,
got
this is a haunted house.
Forget I've got it. Candy wrappers littering the floor 24/7.
Look at all the houses on this block. Tombstones everywhere.
We have a ghost hanging on our front door that if you push the button, it makes like this creepy noise. And Bergen is horrified of it, even though that she knows it's plastic and that you have to push the button. She's still terrified of it. So I've been using that as a disciplinary tool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yes.
So I've been like, oh, you're not going to eat your vegetables for dinner? Well, how about I just go push the button on the ghost on the doorstep? And she's like, okay, I'll eat them.
And my kids are also extra creepy this time of year. I took them for a walk.
In like a good way or a bad way?
I took them in a walk around the neighborhood so they could look at Halloween decorations. And they were arguing over... My younger son was like, oh, look, zombies. And my older son is like, those aren't zombies. They're just dead bodies.
I guess it is one good way to start a discussion about life and death with children.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's a subtle difference.
We had to come home from Run It Up Reno. I had to come home early from Run It Up Reno because Rachel hurt her back. And Bergen asked her if she was dying.
Mm. Yeah, Halloween. You mean?
Okay, that's Halloween.
Oh, totally.
Okay. Well, I mean, we had to have the talk when our dog passed.
Oh.
So she already kind of is familiar with the concept a little bit.
Yeah.
But she doesn't fully fathom what it means, I don't think.
It's tough to wrap your head around.
It really is, even still as an adult. Even still as an adult, we have a lot of belief systems that clash with other belief systems. That's just a huge old mess.
Yeah. All right. Well, Danny, thank you for sharing about Halloween at your house.
Yeah, I knew you would agree with me.
Story. Doesn't mean that you're a cranky person. Is anything wrong with you?
I mean, I don't think that's what defines him as a cranky person, but for sure he's a cranky person.
Look, I'm already on my way out.
He's a realist.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
You're on your way out because of all the distrust.
The distrust, exactly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, because it's a constant conversation at my house where I feel like I'm just saying, but why are we doing this? Why? Yep. Who's making us do this? And then people don't like questions.
For fun.
Yeah. And I say, who's having fun?
Yeah.
We got a couple of requests from some listeners this week.
Yes.
One was for Danny to do more impersonations and more voices after the shopkeep from last week.
Okay.
Danny, do an old British woman who's a shut-in with a bunch of cats.
I can't. It's really hard to do it on the spot.
Okay. And then number two is that Vascular D, a.k.a.
Skeet Dog.
Whatever, Skeet Dog has a ton of cool nicknames, and Tyson doesn't have any.
Ah.
So we need to come up with some Tyson names.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ice-T.
I don't think you could do it spur of the moment. I mean, you came up with Skeet Dog pretty close to spur of the moment, but I think we really need to sit and marinate on this idea.
Yeah. Tyson's been talking about wool on a lot of the podcasts.
Big old Vascular D. No, you brought up wool this time, and I just...
You brought wool.
You said old-timey swimsuit, and I said wool, yeah. It's because wool insulates while wet. You know that.
I don't. I only know that because you keep saying it.
Well, it's still true.
Mm. Is there any... The woolly mammoth?
Well, we have to incorporate the term wool with Tyson's nickname.
He keeps talking about it, Danny.
I wear a lot of wool t-shirts.
Mm.
Well, let me think. I got to think about this in my quiet moments.
Put Twitter on it. Put social media on it. All right.
Yeah. I think I'm Tyson.
Yeah. We can come up with something better. If I have to be buried with the name Skeet Dog on my tombstone, we got to come up with something better.
You're going
to
be Skeet Dog, a.k.a. Vascular D. A.k.a. Big Ol' Vascular D. Because I think when you get older, you're going to be called Big Ol' Vascular D.
Hopefully.
Will you be more vascular as you age, Danny?
I think Old people become really gross and veiny. And naturally, that's what happens.
As the fat layer between his skin and muscle deteriorates into nothingness, he's going to just look like
you'll be lucky.
A latex glove pulled tightly over a skeleton with a little cadaver.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But it's going to be easy to find a needle to inject me with all that young blood.
That is true.
Okay.
Or celebrity blood.
Whichever.
Okay.
I think that's redundant because I think that the celebrity is going to be filled with young blood.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. Well done, everybody. Tyson, any reviews or your passing along of that feedback constitutes a review?
I'll just pass along that feedback as the review this week.
Okay. All right. Of course, follow Danny Bryson on social media. He's at Danny Bryson. Tyson is at Tyson Apostle. Let us know what his nickname should be. Thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre putting all of this together. Thank you to everybody watching us live. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
We did it, guys. Do you remember when we got a lot of heat for me not saying we did it, guys, at the end of it?